All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, Bankstown? Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects, and happy to say all present and accounted for.
Welcome back, player.
Good to be back, fellas. Thanks for allowing me a family day.
Joel, you're like the Will Fuller of radio.
How long have you been sitting on that?
We talked so much crap about you missing work.
What would be better, to be the Carlos Correa of radio or the Will Fuller of radio?
I don't know.
Because they're similar.
Better or worse?
Yeah, which would be better? Like, which would give you more cred in terms of when you do play, you're better?
Well, that's true, because you're like, oh, well, when Will Fuller's there, the team is
yes.
better.
Yes. When Correa plays, he can be effective.
Yeah. That's a good question. I think I would rather be the Correa.
I'm kind of leaning that way, too.
The ceiling is higher.
Yeah. There's been more years of injuries, but there's also been more years of success when he played.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And there hasn't been as many knocks on Correa. Like, you know, Will Fuller, there's always been questions of his hands, so I don't want people questioning my skill set. I'll be the Carlos Correa.
Yeah, I at least want to be the guy that can put my hand in my ear and say, what do you got to say now by hitting a big home run or doing something big.
Exactly.
And then, of course, there's Danielle.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
We said it was a personal day, and we're glad. We said it was only going to be one day, and we're glad you're back.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know about glad.
So
we'll tolerate that you're back.
So let me just say this, because I think we mentioned some of this, but as part of yesterday, the day didn't start out real well. Okay, so I had told you guys that about a month ago that car parked in garage and nothing had happened to said car. When I went to put it in reverse the next morning, my check engine light went on, my track off light went on.
Yeah.
It went nuts. I got it in. They said that rodents had gotten up in my engine block, chewed a bunch of wires.
Crazy.
Nuts as it is, and frustrating as it was, paid like $600-$700, fixed it, took it home. 2 days later, in a different part of the engine, the rodents were back.
Bro, y'all
so
are dirty.
Again,
y'all are dirty. Y'all got rats.
I should sell them out for who they are, but I got the pest pool and lawn people who normally only worry about bugs. I'm like, what are y'all doing every month? Because suddenly, I'd like to know what these rodents are, where they're coming from, and how the hell they keep getting in my car. Regardless, two times in, double the money, my car's fine. I park in the garage. So the collateral damage is, Lisa then believes that the reason that these rodents were in our garage is because I have too much sports stuff in the garage. So now I have to clean my entire first three, or lower three shelves in my garage of all sports stuff. All shoes.
That's ridiculous.
All this other stuff, right?
Bro, don't let her boss you around like that.
I know.
Let him hang, bro.
She kept whining. So I finally did all that. It looked good. I actually felt good about doing it. Then after that, I was good. So Lisa's car normally sits in our driveway. Yesterday morning, I go shuffle the cars, and I'm like going to get ready for her to go. She had to get to a meeting, so it's like 7:30 in the morning. So I was like, you know, I'll do her a favor. There was frost out there. I'll start the car, warm it up, put it by the back door. I start it up, and I'm like, it's not idling right. Track light off, light goes on. Engine light goes on. I'm like, you cannot be serious. There is no way. The same thing happened three times. Lo and behold, when I put it in reverse, it does the exact same thing. I get it to the dealership, and they're like, do you have rats or mice? You aren't even being serious with me. He pops the hood, and he shows me all over the top of the engine block all of the droppings. And all of the, like, chewed up.
Why are y'all so dirty?
I'm like, this is Sugar Land. Where are all these rodents coming from?
Y'all need to get you a rat snake. I'm telling you, man. Either get you a cat or a rat snake and put it in the garage. And I'm not even kidding about the rat snake. My brother-in-law, Shane, he's a firefighter. He said at the fire station, they'll get rats. And they'll just, like, one of the chiefs or whatever lives in the country. And he'll go get a rat snake, bring it to the station, let it loose. kills all the rats, and then when it's done, it goes finds another food source and it leaves.
But I got dogs.
Get you some? They ain't going to catch no rats.
First of all, they're going to kill the cat.
Well, okay.
The cat has no chance, right? So then you go to the snake
option. Well, I hope
you
enjoy
this. Then I don't know that the dogs have a chance.
No, rat snakes won't really mess with your dogs. They're not poisonous.
Okay.
So if they bit them, it wouldn't even really affect them. It might hurt, but it ain't going to kill them. But you got to do something.
So I've been on the – so, again, half the day yesterday. I'm dealing with the exterminator people again going, okay, because here's the thing. They set first these sticky traps where they put peanut butter in the middle, and they're like, don't be surprised. It'll happen as quick as the next morning. You're going to have several of them. Nothing. Then he comes back and he goes, well, you know, they're pretty smart. They can jump from the ground to the peanut butter, land on the peanut butter, eat as much of the peanut butter, and then jump off without hitting the sticky strips. I'm like – What are they, the Willendez family? Get out of here. They're not gymnasts or anything.
Was it Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible?
So then he's like, well, then maybe they're too big for the sticky strip to get them. So then they set these massive traps all over the place. Got nothing.
Dude, you're just going to the wrong people. Yeah, I'm sure we have suspects out there. I use Coastal Pest, which is they're great. They're a suspect. They
or Troy.
This was, you could get Troy.
Troy's going to come like a flamethrower and a gun.
But back in the, remember when I thought I had bed bugs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Coastal Pest came out, checked it out. You need to call them. He's a suspect, man, too.
Well, that's good because I'm telling you, I've been dealing with ABC and ABC Pest Pool and Lawn.
Not they're good.
Like, they're like, when it's just like simple bug, you know, maintenance or, you know, they don't, they're fine. But when it comes to this stuff,
you need to get somebody in there that's going to investigate.
The first time the rodent guys come, I pull up both garage doors. And I'm like, look, I think they're getting in here or there. And I had done a lot of recon myself. Initially, they said, you know, there was some space between the bottom of my garage door and the concrete. So I went and bought that pipe insulation keep your pipes from freezing with one side elastic. I mean, or sticky.
Okay.
So I just layered it and I eliminated the space. And I saw that they had tried to gnaw away at that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is where they're getting in. So the rocket scientist, I put up both garage doors. He puts that wire mesh stuff where he on the inside where he thinks the hole would be if they dug. He didn't bother to put the doors down to make sure that when it came down, it didn't get in the way. So now when he leaves, I go and hit the buttons of the garage door. It goes down. It hits the wiring. It pops back up. It crushes the wiring in the process. I call him. I go, bro, you're coming back. He's like, well, I did what I said. You did. All you did was set up a complete ramp for my garage door to get stuck. I'm like, I've been dealing with this crap for like 3 weeks.
You're a mess. You guys are a mess, man. I didn't realize you and Lisa were so dirty.
To park my car in the garage until they fix it. Because I'm like, if one more time, I wake up in the middle of the night and go, I'm going to go check my car. Because if that check engine light's on again, I'm going to kill somebody.
How do you get all these ratatouille over here in your garage?
Yeah, exactly. So Ratatouille is right. But where do they come from? I'm the one that's
got all the exotic animals,
That's what he
right?
did. He went to Barry's for Thanksgiving.
No.
And they crawled up under your car, and then you went and parked it in your garage, and now they live in your garage.
That's the thing. He wouldn't let me in, so I got there, and I had to leave. But at the same time, while the car was parked, they got dirty. In my car.
We're dirty over there in Sugarland.
Y'all are dirty in Sugarland, man.
He keeps going, you got any bayous? And I go, yeah, about 5-6 blocks away. Yeah, I don't know where they're coming from.
But there's plenty of bayous in Sugarland, though.
I heard a story, I heard a story about rat, and I was like, you know, mice and rats are pretty common. You just don't realize it, right? But somebody was saying that there was this family that lived in a trailer, and they had rats, and that it gnawed on their baby's face.
What?
Because the baby had food on their face. And I was like, is that possible?
No way.
Yeah, that the rats got in the baby's crib and chewed on its face because it had crumbs and food on its face. Isn't that wild?
Oh,
y'all better be careful, man. Oh, man. You better be careful. You better get rid of them.
I would make my animal rights loving wife watch as I killed that thing if it touched my baby. I can tell you that.
Yeah, be careful, man. Isn't that wild?
They're not in the house.
Well, you
and
don't
the
know.
Baby is.
If you have rats and mice, they might be in the house.
No.
Don't be so sure, Joe.
He's freaking him
don't
out right
now.
Don't
be so sure.
He's not freaking me out. He's pissing me off. Because I've dealt with enough. And then, how about this? Here's the other funny thing.
I understand
dealerships, their money is made in the service department. Mm-hmm. First of all, shout out to Steve Wedderburn and all the people at Sterling McCall Lexus because they handled us with such care and took care of everything yesterday. They're fantastic. They take care of everybody great. But for my car, my service guy, he drops this line on me. See if you guys believe in it or not. He says, now, you know, these wires in most of these manufacturers are coated with either vegetable oil or peanut oil. What? And the rodents are attracted enough to them that they chew through the wires. I'm like, without me cussing, get the hell out of here if you're going to get me to believe that these wires are coated with vegetable oil or peanut oil. If you tell me that car manufacturers, I don't care what country you're making it in, ain't no way, no how that at the end of the deal when they're putting the engine together, they go, you know, a good idea here would be to lube these wires up with some vegetable oil.
So I would agree with you.
Okay.
But then I just Googled it.
No way.
Yep.
No way.
In an effort to be more environmentally friendly, companies are making more and more automotive components out of renewable materials such as soy or even cannabis. So, unfortunately,
he said it was coated with vegetable oil.
Unfortunately, a side effect of building cars out of edible materials is that rodents are eating them, reports the Detroit Free Press.
Yeah, but he specifically said that they coated the wires with vegetable oil.
The wiring casing.
Yeah, that doesn't say that. That's saying they're making wiring out of something.
Ford also uses soy rather than petroleum for wire insulation.
So still different than what she says. It's still different than what he said.
He said specifically they're coating vegetable oil around a wire.
Don't mice and rats want to eat fattening, nasty stuff? They don't want to eat like soy.
they're trying to be healthy.
Maybe they're and keep their cholesterol down.
Maybe they're progressive rats. Maybe they're they're doing yoga.
Well, I'm progressively going to kick their ass if I find out. I don't care what Lisa's beliefs are. I'm going to kill these damn things.
Apparently, Ford's seats are made out of soybean-based foam too. So be careful if you got a Ford. Going to be sitting on a pile of rats.
Did you see the new Mercedes non-steering? Doesn't have a steering wheel. It's a Mercedes. It's a futuristic car.
Maybach?
Based after a movie or something like that. It just came out at the computer electronics show and all that, and they were showing it off. And they said that it was vegan leather. There's no such thing.
What?
There is no such thing as vegan leather.
It may be fake leather, right?
Yeah. But there is no such thing as vegan leather.
I would agree with that. That doesn't sound like a thing.
Yeah, it's one or the other. It's not
impossible.
Both.
Is it impossible leather?
Yeah, exactly. When you get the guy, well, then I'm a damn fool. I thought
this was real ass cow. You mean this ain't real cow? This is vegan cow seats? What?
That commercial gets me every time when the guy goes, I know beef. And then 2 seconds later in the commercial, well, I'm a damn fool. There's no beef in here.
Pretty funny.
So, yeah, we're just getting started.
Welcome back.
Good to be back.
Rat boy.
Yeah, sorry that y'all had to deal with all of the stuff I've had to deal with. You can get them all in now.
Mighty Mouse, Mickey Mouse. I don't know. We'll just keep coming up with stuff. Do we have any songs about rats we can play?
Yeah, how'd Way Back Wednesday go yesterday?
It was good. Yeah. It was good, yeah. It went well. Easy. Easy peasy.
Would y'all fill mine in?
Tyler did.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. All right, we're just getting started. HR&P listener line available for you, 713-780-3776. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us on Twitter, at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick. We are the usual suspects. Before we go to break, I do want to tell you, Rockets in OKC tonight for a big one as Russ goes back for the very first time, and then they're coming back home, and you guys want to get together and see the game against the Blazers on January 15th. Well, boy, do they have a deal for you. Starting as low as $29, you can get a ticket to see the Rockets and the Blazers. Carmelo Anthony's return. Blazers are going to be a good team getting better in the Western Conference. But better than that, for just that $29, not only do you get a ticket to the game, you get a choice of a beer or a soda, a large hot dog, and a Rockets bottle opener, while you get a ticket to a game to see a good matchup between the Rockets and the Blazers in the Western Conference. It's a great way to spend a night out in Houston. So whether you grab your buddies or your family and friends, do what you got to do and get there, because it's a great deal. And $29, that's easy for a full night of entertainment, food, beverage, and fun. You need to get this. A lot of people need to jump on board. All you got to do to get involved, Rockets.com. It's your one-stop shop for everything Rockets, but especially for everything tickets, including this guy's night out for January the 15th. Check it out, Rockets.com. Check out the Rockets and the Blazers as Carmelo returns to the Toyota Center.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. Intergalactic planetary. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, just getting rolling on The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5 on a Friday in the big city. Got plenty to talk about. We're getting closer to Texans and Chiefs. Big, big football games this weekend, which we're going to get really in-depth with, I would assume, tomorrow. The story of today would be the first return of Russell Westbrook to OKC. Before he gets to that, he had to get through sitting out after 4 days of rest to watch his team play the Atlanta Hawks last night. I don't know if you saw him on the sideline.
That was a garbage performance.
Matt Bullard said it was his, what do you call it, his Stanford Glee Club jacket?
Yeah, the red one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
I still don't understand why he sat out, but okay, fine. But as we talked about, if they are who we think they are as a team, that game should have been over after three quarters. Instead, it was a three-point game with less than 3 minutes to play, and I'm going, for all of you people that all come at me with all this defensive stuff all the time about, they're so good, and you don't know it. Until they learn to stop someone, as quick as they get up 20, they give it back, and it was embarrassing last night.
Yeah, it wasn't a good performance. There was a lot of positives that come out of it, but the negative is the fact that, yeah, when we talked about it yesterday, when you mentioned this should have been over by the third quarter. Yeah. And it wasn't, and it looked like it was going to be after the first quarter. You're mm-hmm. like, uh-oh, wow, this is exactly what we thought it would be. Give credit to the Hawks, though, man. They were gritty. They hung in there. They were knocking down shots. And look, it didn't help that James Harden went absolutely cold.
Yeah.
From three-point range and couldn't make anything. He threw up some ugly shots. He missed the whole backboard.
It's the hair.
it was a combination of things, but there were some bright spots. I mean, Capella's performance obviously was big. Gordon knocking down some shots.
But McLemore gets his contract guaranteed, and then he lights it up for 4 points.
No, he had 18.
He had 18?
Yeah. What'd you watch?
who had 4 points? Who had 4 points?
House.
There you go. Daniel House.
I was going to say, game did you watch? McLemore, it was 6-for-9 from 3-point range.
Okay. All right. McLemore's contract's guaranteed, and he gives you 18 points. Eric Gordon was the game saver.
He had some big shots down the stretch.
Well, Harden threw him an awful bounce pass cross court to get him the three from about 6 feet off the NBA line, and he just buried it.
Yeah.
But overall,
does he have a weird looking shot to you guys, Eric Gordon?
It's not weird because fundamentally it's right. The elbow's in, the follow through's right. It's just that it seems like it takes him a calendar year to get it off.
There's something about the wrist action that he shoots with. It's almost like he gets completely under the ball. And, you know, they tell you should flick the wrist and all that. It just looks, especially on his free throws. If you ever watched it, I'm like, how does he control that?
But I don't know. I feel like Westbrook's is more weird than Gordon, but that's just me.
Well,
I mean,
Russ is more just wrist.
Yeah.
He's so strong that he gets to the top of his jump, and then it's a flick. Whereas, to Barry's point, Eric Gordon's elbows in, and he does it, but he does. He gets underneath it, and then it really just seems like, because he's so adamant on making sure he's got a wide base and both feet are set, that instead of timing him with a stopwatch, you time him with a calendar, because it seems like it takes him forever to get it off.
It's kind of a weird shot, but it's effective. I mean, when he's on, he's on. Great game by Capella.
Oh, huge. Was it
20 boards, 22 boards?
22 and 22, right?
Yeah, he went 20. And P.J. Tucker, the same. I thought Tucker's defense looked really good. I thought rebounding-wise, he was really
active.
Took
a big charge against Alex Lynn late in the game when they needed him.
But credit where credit is due, man. Trae Young and the Hawks were scrappy. I mean, 42 points is going to keep you in a game.
He had a triple-double, too.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, a big. But with first time, I think, in NBA history that two guys had a 40-point triple-double in the same game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with Harden and Trae Young. The jury's out from my standpoint. I heard Charlie talking the other day about he doesn't play any defense. For me, Trae Young is like the best player on a bad team, so I'm not ready to anoint him, as some people are, a superstar.
Right.
And then when you look at it, as good as he's been for Atlanta, I'm surprised Atlanta isn't getting more criticism for the fact that you traded Luka Doncic and the ability to draft Luka Doncic for Trae Young.
No doubt, but I think you're sleeping on Trae Young. I think he's better than you're giving him credit for. I think he has the opportunity and the ability to be a star in this league. Not elite, not LeBron James level, James Harden level, But he could be a Dame Lillard type. I think he has that ability.
I don't think he gets that good. That's what I'm saying. I think he's a good player. He's a very much above average player.
But how much lower do you put Dame Lillard under Harden? And yeah. I mean, they're in the same class. Mm. Dame Lillard, Harden, that's the same class.
Mm. I would tend to agree with Nick.
That's the same class. You're not talking about a lower tier player when you're talking about Dame Lillard.
I am, but maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe I'm on crack. I'm the guy that didn't think Dwight Howard was good anymore.
Can I give you the one factor that has Nick to be
I'm just never going to let y'all live that down with Dwight Howard.
He's still having a hell
no,
of a year.
No, he's not. Stop it. He's not.
I'm not wavering on that. Because the stats, as you are the stats guy, but the stats said he was the most productive guy in the NBA based on minutes, and he was coming off the bench for the Lakers.
Stop it.
Dame Lillard's, his clutch gene?
Oh, now that I would agree with.
Is 10 times better than James Harden's clutch gene.
You get no argument from me on that. Totally agree with
that. Until James starts waving bye-bye to people.
But when you talk about elite versus superstar, I'm not telling you Dame Lillard's not a superstar. But when I'm saying elite, I'm saying LeBron James, James Harden.
I can't put James in LeBron's category when you use the term elite.
He's the best scorer on the planet. No one can stop that.
How many rings has he got?
It doesn't matter. We're just talking about pure on the court.
Elite to me is you lead your team to championships, too. I understand the personal accomplishments.
Neither is Dame. Dame doesn't have a championship.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying Dame's elite.
Thank you, Nick. Yeah, suck it, Joel. Nick's making my points
I was just talking about specific to what he was saying. You also have to remember, look, I said this yesterday, too. When your highest paid player, Joel, is Chandler Parsons, your team probably sucks. When your fan favorite is Vince Carter, your team probably sucks. You also have to remember that the Rockets have beat this team now 6 times in a row. And that's the longest any team has ever beat the Hawks. They have never lost 6 games. They've lost to two different teams 6 times in a row. It's hard to get motivated for a team like that.
But last
you think that's
night,
part of the issue was they played down to their competition.
They beat them
see that.
They knocked the sense out of them. They beat them by 47 last time.
And don't discount that 4 days off. I thought Bullard had a good point too. It's hard to get back into your rhythm as a shooter, but it was kind of contradictory because the way that Harden started the game versus that third quarter, he was like, it looks like the time off has affected him. Well, no, it didn't affect him at the beginning.
Excuses are a dime a dozen, too. Then the response would be, well, you know what? He came out of the gates hot because he was rested, but then he didn't have the game legs that he had because he had too many days off. So you can keep going back and forth. The bottom line is, look, I think since Eric Gordon got back there playing better, I just don't like the fact that whether Gordon is in or out or whatever you want to say about what happened last night, the fact of the matter is, the trend overall for the whole season is you can put a 20-point lead on someone in no time. But unfortunately, you can give it all back in no time, too.
But isn't that the NBA, though?
I don't think so. It's the entire NBA.
The Rockets aren't the only one that squandered 20-point leads in the NBA on a night-in and night-out basis.
The Lakers aren't giving up 20-point leads because you know what? They're blocking 20 shots a game, and they're doing things defensively that the Rockets aren't doing.
First of all, Lakers aren't blocking 20 shots a game every game.
Not every
game.
But
I guarantee you go back and look, the Lakers have choked away plenty of leads.
Okay, but I'm just saying, overall, that's the NBA. It's a trend and a theme that's consistent with the Rockets. And it's happened several times this year. And almost even in games that they end up winning by 20, they oftentimes give up 20-point leads more than once in games. So I'm just saying, like, when you look at a Clippers team, and we talked about this earlier in the season, but if a Clippers team that when they need to, and they put Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell, and Lou Williams on the court, that's a damn good defensive team. When the Lakers want to put Anthony Davis, and if you want to go big with JaVale McGee or Dwight Howard and LeBron James, and then Rajon Rondo or Avery Bradley, a damn good defensive team. I don't know who the damn good defensive team is with the Rockets. PJ Tucker and Capella and
Westbrook?
No, stop it. Watch him not play defense.
Okay.
He looks the part, but watch him. He makes James Harden look like a stopper.
All right, I got to tell the people about my bookie. You're going to just rant and rant and rant about the Rockets' defense.
We'll continue this.
Guys, football season, obviously, it's winding down, but it's still bowl season, and it's still playoffs, and it's still time to get action on these games, and I want you to have fun, enjoy this postseason in football, and no better way to do that than with MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You bet, you win, you get paid. They say it, they mean it. They've got odds on every game. They've got prop bets. If you're following us at ESPN, we've all got different things for you to do when it comes to wagering and in-game live action. MyBookie has that. So if you miss the starter, if you miss kickoff, but you still want to get in-game live action, you can absolutely do that at MyBookie. There's no better place to do it. And look, nobody pays you faster. When you want your money, you're going to get it from MyBookie. When you want your cash, they're going to give it to you. A lot of these places don't do that. You're going to, you know, you win and you want to get your money out and they start giving you the runaround where they're asking all these questions and delaying it and they don't get back to you. That doesn't happen with MyBookie. They're going to make sure that it's you so they don't give the money to the wrong person, but then you're going to get your money. You get paid faster than anybody out there. And again, like I tell you, they've got everything you need. Well, you teasers and parlays and whatever you want to have action and have fun when you wager, it's right there at MyBookie. So bet smart, because really, who you bet with is as important as who you bet on. And don't risk it. Go with MyBookie. And right now, if you sign up, they're going to double your first deposit. That's up to $1,000 in free money to wager on your favorite teams. All you got to do is just use promo code RADIO when you sign up to take advantage of that exclusive double your money offer. It's MyBookie.ag, promo code RADIO. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Half hour into the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Thursday in the big city. A lot of you sending suggestions my way, some not even worth reading a second time, others to help me get rid of the rodent problem. Nick had said that there is at Home Depot and other places rodent repellent.
Yeah, I saw it. I googled it, and Amazon and Home Depot have a couple of brands. I don't know if it's effective. I'm assuming Troy and Barry probably know better at this kind of stuff.
This is super easy. I'll just send you a picture of my ex-wife. You just put them all over your garage. Trust me, all those rats will leave. They'll be like, oh my God. They're out of there. I promise you. I'll just send you that. That'll be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mike Huntley said.
She said your ex-wife was kind of tough, though. My bad, Joel.
She's a bad bitch.
So she'll whoop up on these roadies.
She would. She's mean,
my
man.
My bad, Joel. Go ahead.
She's mean.
Mike Huntley sent me, it's called Just One Bite 2 Bar. Kills Norway rats, roof rats, house mice.
Wait. Roof rats? What the hell are roof rats?
Evidently rats on the roof.
Roof rats.
I didn't realize there were this many models of rats. But I think I could have figured that one out.
I didn't realize there were this many like models. It's like a car. Like you got roof rats and garage rats and field rats.
But here's the only problem. I got dogs. I got to make sure that whatever I put out doesn't also kill my dogs.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
I would imagine if these companies had any smarts, they would say pet friendly or something on the bottle, right?
I think.
Because you're not trying to put a leash on a roof rat.
No.
So that wouldn't be a pet,
certainly
right?
Certainly not.
So I'll investigate some of this stuff, but you have to keep that in mind, that I got to keep my dog safe while I do all this stuff. And the pest control people are coming back tomorrow to set these different kinds of traps in which... The way they explain it is the rodents come in, they identify the food
in
the trap.
They check in, but they don't check out?
It's like a drive-through window. They check in, they see this little contraption. They go get themselves full of food that's free with no chances of getting snapped up in a trap. And then they just shuffle off to Buffalo and they die somewhere else. Evidently, it kills them from the inside out. Now, really? I'm not trying to promote that to my wife.
Yeah.
But at this point,
you don't give a damn.
Yeah, I don't care because... my hurt feelings, all of about 5 to 10 seconds, are going to be worth a lot more to me than the six grand, the 8 grand it's going to cost to keep fix Lisa's car.
My exterminating company put these boxes around my house for rats.
That's what these
are. They go in and
they feast and then they go die somewhere else.
No, they don't get out. They just get trapped in the box.
Oh, like, these
there's bait in there and they go in and then it just traps them in there.
These are like a sonic for rodents. They go in, they have their fill,
yeah,
and then they go shuffle off somewhere in the field and then they die.
Yeah. By the way, somebody texted the show and said, glad to have you back, Joel. Congrats. I'm glad the surgery went well.
I said, what surgery?
We said you were transitioning.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
That may have. Just seems like how up and up it is when I'm not around.
We may have said that you were transitioning. I don't know.
Okay.
Didn't we?
We might have. You know how we talk about we don't remember what we say 5 minutes ago.
So
I don't remember what I said yesterday.
That's true. But I think we may have said you were transitioning.
When Happy Go Crackling over here misses time, I don't say a word. But all of a sudden, I miss a day and I'm transitioning. All right? Well, when your voice can get this deep without
bowing out, people are Barry White. Like, hey, who's the lesbian on the show? People are asking this, saying I sound like a lesbian.
Yeah.
Shut up.
What was that chick's name that was big for a while? The fabulous sports babe?
Is that who I sound
like? You sound like the fabulous sports babe.
Oh, you're a jerk.
Well, I'm a jerk. I'm transitioning. What the hell is that?
God, just typical woman.
Jeez. So we were talking rockets. Look, a couple people on Twitter came at me. I said, look, here's the thing you got to consider if you're the Rockets. You're running out of these quote-unquote assets because you traded so many first-round picks away to get the Westbrook deal done. You've made trades in the past. So, again, we end up sitting in the same situation that we've seen the Rockets in the past, which is you're waiting for a buyout market. And you don't know if the buyouts are going to be as good as they were a year ago, 2 years ago, when you got Austin Rivers, when you got Kenneth Faried. So, you're hoping for buyouts, especially in Andre Iguodala, but you're not guaranteed, as in years past, they're going to choose Houston over the other squads. I said, kick the tires on a guy like Jamal Crawford. He's not with anybody. He was still in the sixth man of the year conversation a year or two ago. He's killed the Rockets over the years. And the Lakers are said to also think about they're looking for a shooter. Before the Lakers go and kick the tires on the guy, he doesn't cost you anything. Bring him in, see if he's got anything left. Because the fact of the matter is you need perimeter shooting. And I get all these people texting me, have you seen their offensive efficiency rating? Okay, it's the regular season. I've seen how inefficient they've been offensively come playoff time. And I know that if you talk about a guy with veteran playoff experience like Crawford, I'm going to take him, whatever age he is now, over the Daniel House that folded up his house and went home last year in the playoffs, over a Ben McLemore that's never been in the playoffs.
I don't know. I mean, you're talking about a guy well past his prime, too.
Still gets buckets, and he hits tons.
Where is he right now?
What did I just say? He won't cost you anything to bring him in. Bring him in. Take a look. Here's what I don't understand,
and I'm not attacking you, but
it's a day that ends in a Y. It doesn't matter.
But you're acting like that the Rockets are in the 8 seed, or like that like last year when they were one game above the Phoenix Suns in second to last place. This is a team that is tied with the Clippers, who you have and we've all said is one of the two best teams.
Yep.
In the Western Conference. They have the same exact record. Why is the sky falling so much for the Rockets?
I'm saying I'm looking at this from the perspective of, from a Houston Texans fan perspective. I'm tired of winning the division and getting a high seed only to exit early in the playoffs. I'm thinking about what it takes to win a championship. And I'm looking at those two teams you just mentioned in the two teams in LA. And I'm thinking, what do the Rockets need to be able to compete with those two teams? And I'm thinking they need something. I don't think
they need more depth. That's the difference between these two teams.
I'm thinking, how are they going to get this? It's not just going to fall in their laps every year off the street.
I know, but I feel like we've kind of beaten that horse to death.
I think this is a different year, a different story. You're not getting it. First of all, right now Memphis is trying to Iguodala, trying to trade him, and his contract is 17 and a half. So unless you're willing to trade Eric Gordon to get Iguodala, you're not getting him. You're obviously not getting Chris Paul. That means you're not getting Kevin Love. So tell me who
you're getting. Why aren't you getting Kevin Love?
Kevin Love's making like $27 million a year.
Okay.
And he just signed an extension.
Yeah.
So then you're looking at a Robert Covington, who, by the way, when you had him the first time when he came out of the G League, you had him at a song. But now because he got re-upped at a big deal with Philly, then traded to Minnesota, you're still talking about over $10 million a year for a Robert Covington. And then I come back to, what are you giving up to get him?
But you think, okay, now this is where I got to call. You think that the difference between this team competing for a championship against the Lakers and the Clippers is Jamal Crawford?
No, I'm not saying he's the difference, but I think he certainly would help you to improve your perimeter shooting, to improve your veteran experienced abilities in terms of making shots and having experience in the playoffs. Because look, I liked what Daniel House brought to the table last year in the regular season. I hated what happened to him in the playoffs when he couldn't make a shot. He got gun shy. Then D'Antoni lost faith in him and he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And in the playoffs, you can't add anybody. So I'm trying to fix the problem now before it becomes too late.
Jamal Crawford shot 33% from the three-point range last year. 39% field goal percentage.
Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. He should have had plenty more opportunities.
He played with the Clippers, and he played in the right system coming off the bench.
36, 34, 32, 36.
I'll take it.
Look, one way you can add some perspective to this argument is expectations, right? Expectations as a front office, as a fan base. Where do you want the Rockets? And I feel like it's fair. Because a lot of times, Joel is kind of right. He does kind of hit this a lot. They're a good regular season team, and then mm-hmm. when it comes down to the postseason, they don't do very well. How far they go in the postseason is kind of where you're supposed to be satisfied or not satisfied with your expectations. I think your expectations change, though, every time you change a massive star on your team, right? So when Dwight Howard left, you didn't necessarily expect the Rockets to be a championship team right when Chris Paul came on the team. They got pretty far. The second year was worse, so it was a bad look. Now that you've got Russell Westbrook, I don't know if the expectations are still championship. It should be. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get there, and it doesn't necessarily mean you're wrong or you've completely did the wrong move if you don't, because, yes, they're running out of time, but this is the first time Russell Westbrook has been on this team. And it's not that easy to be a star, be added to another team with another star, and then just win a championship. That's the big deal.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
That's the big deal with the Rockets. They've never had an opportunity to have a star stay there long enough, get through whatever personal problems that they have,
yeah,
and just play basketball and win some playoff games.
And I mean, we're all in agreement, right? Because Daryl's even said it in commercials. Nothing short of a championship, or at least getting there to compete for one, is acceptable for this team. And you're right, with the interchanging second superstar type parts, it's tough to find your consistency. But at the same time, they're the ones blowing their trumpet out in the public saying nothing short of a championship or competing for one is good enough.
Well, what do you want them to say?
No, I'm just saying they're putting their own high expectations out there, so they can't get mad when the fans and the media and everybody else, because they get sensitive when you start picking them apart. But the fact of the matter is, right now, we know Daryl's going to try and make a move. We know he normally does, and he tries to improve this team. But with every year that you give up more draft picks and it doesn't work out, your resources are less and less in terms of trying to do it again, and you're left hoping someone gets bought out.
I just don't. I mean, to me, draft picks in the NBA is not the same thing. We're not talking about the NFL. This isn't. I don't think it's the same exact thing. You can build plenty of rosters without draft picks.
Bad teams with good players will give up a good player for draft picks.
Okay.
Why do you think OKC did the deals they made? Because now they've got
Russell Westbrook. I mean, at some point you got to rebuild it again. But I mean, you got to at least Daryl Morey isn't sitting pat, right? At least he's not just like, he's resting on his laurels. Well, we got Dwight Howard. We should be good until he retires. All right, well, we got James Harden. He should be good. He's trying. He brings in Chris Paul. Failed experiment, but at least he tried it. Brings in Russell Westbrook. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But at least he's trying it. A lot of these teams, dude, we could be cheering for the New York Knicks right now. We could be cheering for the Sacramento Kings or the Phoenix Suns.
I mean, they're taking their shots. I want the same argument when you talk about the Texans then.
I recall myself defending Bill O'Brien the other day.
Well, the other day. Once out of 100 ain't going to be something that registers on the Richter scale.
Let me tell you how much heat I got for that, too.
Yeah. Jeez. So, okay. I mean, if you guys want to chime in, let me know how you think about it. Because I'm just trying to be forward-thinking to get this team to compete for a title, not what it normally does.
I do agree with you. And Nick said it, too. Look, when it comes to the postseason, it's a different animal.
Sure.
And you've said that every year, and you've been right every year. But I just don't. You make it feel like the sky is falling, and it's not.
It's not. It's not falling. I'm trying to do what I need to do to throw out what they need to be able to get there.
Understood.
So, Rockets, Thunder tonight.
It's gonna be a good game.
And don't forget, I'm now, looking James, forward every to time it. James Harden returns to OKC, it's kind of a deal.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a
this
big
Chris
deal.
Paul, Russell Westbrook. This
Boozer
is going to
cheers.
Be fun.
I totally expect a standing ovation for Russell Westbrook.
I would agree.
Yeah, I would too.
I think that he was willing to hang in there till the bitter end. He's the one that re-signed.
Yep, I would agree.
So it'll be interesting to see. That should be great to see.
Do we think that Russ and do we think that James and Chris hug on the court before the game?
I do not.
No,
I do not either.
Okay.
I think it's that they hate each other.
Okay.
I think if anything, it's a half-assed bro hug to try and show people that they're amicable.
Nobody's playing touch butt.
But I don't think there's any kind of.
I will say this: if they don't
say
anything at the beginning, there might be a small chance that they say something.
A little hug
again,
at the end.
If one person, like if the winner approaches the loser and say, "Hey, look, man."
Okay.
It's national TV. Unless they're playing it up to try and get the pub,
right?
I don't anticipate it.
Okay.
All right. Hour number one rolls on. 3-hour show. Plenty more to get to. You guys want to join the show? 713-780-3776. Text, call, hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the first hour of the show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride. Wherever you may be in Houston on this Thursday, as we experience another warm front before we get have you seen the weather for this weekend?
No. Is it bad?
It's supposed to start raining tomorrow afternoon around 3. The tornado warnings are supposed to start about 1 to 3 a.m. leading into Saturday morning.
Oh, no.
Where are they? Hopefully it's on the north side.
Bitch.
Well, you know that here's the thing. The TV stations are all going, if you don't have our app and you can't get the word and the warning when a tornado's coming at 3 a.m., you need to download the app and leave your volume up. I'm like, Barry's got a weather station.
Yeah. I'm not downloading
the neighborhood app. Siren that goes off.
It's in my house.
To warn the entire, it's in Barry's backyard. Yeah.
It sounds like the Germans are invading.
It sounds like the Cougars just scored a touchdown on Cullen. That big.
But in the Midwest, they build houses differently. Don't you guys have what is it? Those underground.
We have called a basement.
No, besides a basement, outside the house, they would have something that
it's
was
like an underground shed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A storm shelter.
Yeah, yep. Like a storm shelter.
Yeah, they have those
you
in
have
Oklahoma
one of those?
For sure.
Well, they better.
I have one of those.
No, I'm asking them because in the Midwest, they just built houses differently.
Dude, I'm not
up there.
A dumbass.
They just know. They
in
just
Texas,
weighted them down with
flooding,
fat girls.
You don't make houses with basements or any of those.
I meant like in Milwaukee, like growing up.
Near what I said.
We had a basement growing up, but we didn't have like a storm shelter.
You really didn't hear what I said.
No, I wasn't either.
Because you know what I was focused on when you said that? Like if you were thinking that we would have a basement here with the amount of flooding and stuff, you do know the Nick Van Exel story, right?
No.
No.
So Nick Van Exel got this he's a Wisconsin kid. Okay. He's from Racine. He's about an hour outside of Milwaukee. But when Royal Oaks opened up, the really hoity-toity country club neighborhood out towards Beltway and Westheimer, Nick Van Exel got this prime piece of real estate between the first hole and the 18th hole of the golf course. Massive, massive piece of land. Was building this big, big house. He insisted that he have a basement because he's the Wisconsin kid.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm saying.
Not thinking about the fact that you ain't in Wisconsin anymore, Chief, and there's a lot of rain. The house imploded in the basement. And it was, I think there was a bowling alley down there from what I heard. There was all kinds. And the house was gorgeous.
Smart.
But the fact that he insisted on a basement, not the smartest idea.
No, not at all.
Not going to work out so good.
Thank God no one was in the house, right?
I would hope not, yeah.
Boy.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what you get when you want a Wisconsin basement in Texas.
So this concerns me because I'm in Pflugerville on Saturday.
Pflugerville?
So I don't know what's the drive going to be like. Is it going to be bad when I drive out there on Saturday?
The hell you think I am? Weather and traffic together?
Well, you're the one that brought it up.
Well, you don't
get to bring up the weather and then back out. Let me bring up the weather and tornado warnings, and then when someone asks me about it, I'll be like, what do I know?
I know that I've informed you that the tornado warnings and the weather are going to be bad. Now, if you want me to tell you what the traffic's going to look like from Pflugerville, I can't help you.
I don't know why you say it like that.
See if Darby Douglas is on line one.
I don't
or
even
maybe
know where
Jennifer Reyna. She's got nothing to do. She can help you out.
I don't even know where Pflugerville is, to be honest.
I don't either. That's why you brought it up like I'm supposed to go. Well, you know that normally
I-73. It's Round Rock. It's Austin.
Ask the Express.
Okay.
Maybe they can help you.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the weather's not bad. I'm driving out there. I'm doing a show at a brewery. Speaking of, I'm in a show tonight at the Secret Group. Come hang. Drafts and Laughs.
Yeah, Nick.
Copperhead. I think it was Copperhead.
Drafts and Laughs.
You don't like that name?
You been working on that?
No, I'm all about it.
That's
like
the name of the show. I didn't make that up.
It's got a little ring to it.
I'm not hating.
Rhymes.
I didn't make
it's
that
clever.
Up.
Clever. You could do rockets.
Now, see.
I'm just saying.
But no, it's Copperhead Brewery and the Secret Group. Come by. Hang. I know Fred would come if he wasn't doing the show. Because he tells me all the time, when you're at the Secret Group, let me know.
Was it close to his house or something?
Yeah, real close.
Okay.
But yeah, it'll be good. It'll be fun times.
Well, there you go.
I'm going to Eighth Wonder first. They have a steak night. Remember that guy was telling you that won the taco contest at Eighth Wonder, Chef Machete?
Yeah.
So he's doing a steak night, and I'm pretty pumped about this because that dude can cook his ass off. And so they're doing a steak night there. I'm gonna go hang out, eat some steak, then go do a set at the Secret Group.
Nice. The man without an ass can cook a steak.
What?
Huh? He cooks his ass off.
Oh, my God. I just don't even know about you sometimes.
If you got nothing to do tonight, be very, very quiet. Barry's at the Secret Group.
Oh, my God.
Hour number two coming up next. What should we do?
No. Don't do that.
Hey, Mike Leach has a new job. It's going to make the SEC a little more interesting. Let's talk about that and a whole lot more. It's hour number two of The Usual Suspects coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5, Houston. Hello.